Powerful scenes about our Lord Jesus Christ in that song, Revelation song, reminding us of who we are here about, why we are here. It's because of who? Jesus Christ, Son of God, the Savior, the Lord, the Master. And so today we're going to have a message regarding that. Are you following the right leader? Are you following the right leader? There are a lot of calls for following people in leadership. Did any of you ever play games as kids? Oh, okay, I'm not the only one. Okay. I still play games, but I'll try to behave myself right now. We had all kinds of games growing up. Follow the leader. Simon Says. A few others like that. You know, quite often we find even as adults that we're testing and challenging each other, trying to get at each other, usually in a good way, ribbing each other a little bit. We even test leaders. I'm sure some of you will test me as the days go along. I enjoy a good joke, okay? I don't mind. Lay it on me. But be ready, I might give you one back, okay? You may remember Charles Colson from years ago. He was a popular biblical apologist and founder of Prison Fellowship. He was speaking to a Baptist gathering in July of 1984, and he told them of his conversion from being Episcopalian to becoming a Baptist, which was a result of all of the biblical studies that he had done, and his personal convictions led him to believe he needed to make that change. But he didn't want to offend any of his old Episcopalian friends, his old cronies, you know, so he was avoiding them. Didn't want to talk to them, didn't want to be confronted by them or confront them about the change of the denomination. But finally, one day, one of his old buddies caught up with him, and his old buddies said to Chuck, this is what he said, "When you left the Episcopalian church and joined the Baptist church, you raised the intellectual level of both groups." Ooh, ouch, knife in the back. But, you know, that's kind of what he was expecting, that they would give him a hard time. But how are we doing in following the leader, Jesus Christ? You know, people find entertainment in challenging each other regarding our capabilities, our skills, our pets, your favorite sports team, all kinds of different ways we challenge each other. Not in a major way, but just in daily living. But are these comparisons and standards that we use of any real value? Are they long-lasting? Are they worth staking our lives on? Is there one evaluation or one comparison that has a lifelong significance? The Bible assures us that there is one relationship that we do need to make sure of, that we need to be confident in, that we need to be absolutely sure about, that we are following the right leader. And we are here today because of Jesus. Woo! Amen. Give Jesus some praise. Amen. We're here because of Him. And that's the reason why I'm here. And I trust that you are here and that we can encourage others to be here with us in the days to come. Would you join me in a word of prayer at this time? Thank you, Almighty God and Father, for Jesus. We thank you that He has left heaven. He came to this world. He lived in this world. He experienced all the trials and hardships, the rejection, the pain, the suffering, more so than what I've experienced or any of my brothers and sisters here. He took upon Himself the punishment for all of my sin and theirs, and not ours alone, but of the whole world. Father, help us to realize how great our Savior is, how powerful He is. He is victor over the grave, and He wants to give us victory over the grave. We thank You for that. Help us to follow Jesus, the right leader. We thank You and give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be working through a series of sermons from the book of Galatians, so I'm going to encourage you to take time to read the book of Galatians and think through it. You're going to find some history of the Apostle Paul, and it's going to be a little tough to kind of come up with some messages to apply from that section, but we are going to work through the book of Galatians. Today we're going to be looking at the first 12 verses of that chapter. One of Galatians. So let's read that passage so that we kind of get a feel of where we're coming from. I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation, so it may be a little bit different from your translations, but still the Word of God. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men, nor through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, so that he might rescue us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever. Amen. I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another, only there are some who are disturbing you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say again now, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Today I want to focus on the thought of following the right leader, and there are several things that we could focus on in this passage, but I want us to really make sure that we're on the right track, because in our world today there are a lot of people who are calling us to follow their leadership, to do what they are doing, to pattern our life after theirs, but our ultimate pattern is to be Jesus Christ. He is our only hope, our only salvation, the one that promises us eternity. Nobody else can do that. Amen? That's right. And so we need to follow Jesus and be sure that we are walking with him. First of all, beware of the deception of persuasive people. Beware of those people that just have buttery, flowery, honey-coated words that just suck you in. And it sounds like, they're so nice. They wouldn't do anything to hurt me, would they? Have you ever run into somebody like that and afterwards you got bit? You got hurt. And so we've got to be aware to watch out for the deception of those persuasive people. This document is Paul's letter of warning, encouragement, and instruction to a whole group of churches in the region called Galatia. And now if it's good for all of the churches of Galatia, do you think it's good enough for us? Some of you are not sure yet. It is, because God's word is not a choosy about one group. Well, this is what I want you to do, and we're going to have a different set of standards over here for another group. No, God's standards are good for all of us. His word is true for all of us. So we're going to be looking at this book of Galatians, how it applies to us. These Christians have already been seduced by a persuasive group of speakers who were trying to get them to go back to practicing the Mosaic law. As you read through the book of Galatians, you see that they're saying, this group of teachers saying, well, I'm glad that you became a Christian. And now that you became a Christian, now let's go back to the Mosaic law. And we're going to study the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And you need to start memorizing those rules and living by those rules. Aren't we a people of the book?
I follow the Ten Commandments. Well, we have to be careful there, because we start running into starting making rules and regulations, and we fall into a regimen of living by law instead of by the grace of God given to us through the redemption of Jesus Christ. We were not saved by the law. The law just points out all the ways we can mess up. We are saved through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, in faith in Jesus Christ. And when we come to Jesus, then we want to do those righteous things of the law. But that is not what saves us. The blood of Christ saves us. So we have to be careful as we go through life of we want to follow the law because we love God and we love people. But we don't get our salvation from living the law, because no one can keep all of the law except for who? Jesus Christ, who lived it perfectly. And even when he lived it perfectly, he raised eyebrows of those who thought they were living it perfectly. So as we look through this passage, we want to be careful that we apply God's truth and live by his truth and not be seduced away from God's truth by persuasive speakers. These people had moved in and they had convinced the Galatian churches to give up on Paul's teaching. And this was within about a 10-year period after Paul had been there and established those churches. So within 10 years, they had strayed away from God's truth. They were called upon to follow Mosaic law in order to be saved from their sin. And Paul writes to them to bring them back to the grace offered to them only through Jesus Christ. Now, at the same time, they are living in a culture where the Romans believed that there were many gods, including the emperor, who they considered to be a god. And they called upon the people to worship the emperor as God. And many of the early Christians gave up their lives because they did not acknowledge the emperor as God. This was one of the challenges as Paul went around and preached. This was one of the challenges for Jesus that led to his death, his crucifixion, which Jesus had planned for. Jesus knew he would give his life at the right time in the right way. But it was part of that confrontation between the Roman culture and God's truth that led to the death of Jesus. The Christians would soon be challenged regarding their devotion to the lordship of Jesus or the self-serving emperor. And the great persecutions of the church came just a few years later. Years later, during Paul's final journey past the church of Ephesus, we read this in Acts chapter 20, the apostle warned the elders to guard the flock of believers because there would be persuasive non-Christian speakers that would lure them away from the truth. And not just outside speakers, but he said, from among your own selves. From among your own selves. He's talking to the leaders of the church. He says, some of you guys are going to lead the flock astray. So watch yourself. Be careful. I just love it that the eldership prays together and works together here and just pray for these men. They have been given a great responsibility by God, first of all, to lead you in the truth. And you are called upon to support them and encourage them. Now, if there are things that you see that are wrong, it's your responsibility to speak up. Bring it forth. Let it be known so we can address those things and work forward for the glory of God. Not for the glory of people, but for the glory of God. But here we have the warnings from God's word over and over again to watch out, because people are going to mess up. We are called sinners by God. For all have done what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. So Paul warns the church there in Ephesus. We have the warning here in Galatians to watch out, because there are going to be people who are going to just suck you into what sounds good at the moment, but in the long run, it's false teaching, leading away from God. They would speak perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Our world has seen many of these charismatic, persuasive speakers. If you look back at world history in the 20s and 30s, there was Adolf Hitler who overwhelmed the German people, making them think that they should be the ruling class, ruling people of the world. And we had the world wars. So many deaths, so much destruction because of him. And along with him, there were the Italians, there were the Japanese. They were all in the mix there, the great wars that took place. And so much destruction. And we've gotten so much better since then, haven't we? Ha ha. Ha ha. Think of our soldiers out trying to hold peace across the land and around the world. Some of you have been involved with some of that. I haven't met you personally and don't know your story, but many of you have probably given of yourself, or you have family members who have given of themselves who are trying to keep peace. In the last 50 years, we've seen an escalation of religious groups following persuasive leaders, and some of these hit the national news. You remember Jim Jones many, many years ago? He led 1,000 of his own flock to their death because he didn't want them to get away to peace and freedom. There was the Waco, Texas horror story. And then there was another group in California who firmly believed that there was a spaceship coming to take them from this world. This world is not my home. I'm flying on through. You know, what a sad commentary on humanity that we get sucked in by persuasive speakers and end up losing our life over a false teaching. They went to their death believing in spaceships. And still, there are millions more people today, well, actually billions of people, who are following false teachings of persuasive speakers whose lips drip with honey, and that people think, man, that's what I want. So beware of the deception of those persuasive people. They will be your demise. They will lead to your death. Second point I want to bring out is beware of the deception of Satan's powers. We are fighting a real war with Satan and the powers of darkness. And we need to be on our toes because Satan knows our weaknesses better than we ourselves. Jesus continually revealed Satan, demons, and the powers of darkness, specifically from his 40-day fast through to his death at the cross. He victoriously fought against those powers, those schemes, and those influences of the devil, defeating the power of sin and death. And Jesus gave his disciples the power to victoriously fight against and defeat those same powers. The 12 were sent out with the power to heal and to cast out demons, and they came back amazed. You know, wow, do you know what we were able to do with the power you gave to us, the Holy Spirit working in us? And then Jesus sent out the 70 who also had that same power, and they went out to spread the gospel that the Messiah had come into the world. And that power has been given to us if we will learn to submit to the will of God and do God's will. But even those closest to Jesus sometimes misunderstood God's will and God's purpose. You remember the story, it's found in Matthew chapter 16, verses 23 and following. Jesus revealed to his disciples, I'm going up to Jerusalem. I'm going to give my life as the final sacrifice for humanity. And Peter jumped into the conversation. No way! No way! You can't do that! You're the Messiah! And what was Jesus' response? That was the David Rohrbaugh loose translation, by the way. Okay. Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. I thought he was talking to Peter, but Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Satan will use us as his pawns, as his mouthpieces, as his plots to defy and destroy the will of God. Peter unwittingly allowed Satan to use himself to oppose the will and plan of God. And we need to examine our hearts and our thoughts every day. Am I giving myself to the plan, the plot of evil, or of God? Jesus gives you and me the power to victoriously fight against and defeat those same powers. Obedient believers of Jesus Christ are promised the gift of the Holy Spirit. I firmly believe in Acts 2:38 that those who are buried and given their life to Jesus and are immersed into Christ are given the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Peter said it's a gift from God, that He is a gift of God to you. The Spirit of God, God living in you. We can squelch the effect of the Spirit. We can quench the Spirit, is the wording of the Scripture. If we don't listen to Him, we can stop the will of God because we made the decision, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do it my way. And that's a scary position to be in. God lives in us. That's a promise of Galatians 4:6. God restrains and limits Satan and the evil from destroying us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God's angels protect and assist us. That's promised in Hebrews 1:14 and Psalm 91 verse 11. Jesus promised to always be with who? With us. Make it personal, with me. Jesus is with me. Never forget it. God gives us, as His children, spiritual armor to guard ourselves against the schemes of the devil, to fight against the devil. And all of those gifts, all that weaponry is based upon memorizing God's Word, learning God's Word, learning Scripture. That's how Jesus did it. Jesus fought the devil by quoting Scripture. You know, the devil was quoting Scripture to Jesus. Only they were half-truths. And a half-truth is a lie. It's sin. We need to be people of the Scripture, people of the book, learning God's Word so that we can fight the schemes of the devil with the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Did you get my notes? It's not in my notes, by the way. But it is truth. Amen? But how many of us are devoting time? You know, I don't know about the rest of you, but Sally and my life has been in chaos about the last 3 months. Things are upside down. Things have to be done now that we were supposed to be done yesterday. And now we're trying to find things and get unloaded and get uncluttered. We got to squeeze time out to focus our hearts on the will of God. How many of you have a busy life? If you didn't raise your hand, you might want to reevaluate that, because all of us have 24 hours a day, and we find ways of filling our schedule with stuff to do. Now, maybe some of you with the COVID, you're sitting around thinking, what can I do? Get into God's Word. Write out a scripture. Do a little memory practice. Study. Do some word studies. Read through God's Word. And get it into your life. Let God's Spirit help you grow in the truth of God. Moving on with the thoughts of the messenger, we'll be here all day chasing rabbits. Satan continues his deception, appearing as an angel of light, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He leads masses of people away from God's truth. Several religious groups are devoted to messages they received from angels, prophets, and some claim Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, I don't want to offend you, but we need to evaluate these truths. I'm going to give you some names. Some of you are going to say, yeah, I knew that. I knew that, but hold it here. You've gone over this too far here. Mormonism is a twisting of God's word. Now, some of you have friends. Maybe you are from Mormonism, have influence. I grew up in Mormon country in Idaho. So my best friends were Mormons. I liked the guys, I liked the gals. But when you don't follow God's word and add to God's word, then you've stepped over the line, according to what Paul tells us here in the book of Galatians. The religion of Islam is definitely contradictory to Christianity, even demands the death of all Christians. If you didn't know that, and this is a scary situation our world is in right now, because Islam wants to destroy you if you do not accept Islam as truth. Much of Catholicism has unfortunately wandered from the truth. And I have dear friends that are Catholic, and I'm sorry to say that. People of the Christian church have wandered away from the truth of God. If you don't know the history of the Christian churches, the churches of Christ, non-instrumental, the disciples of Christ, and the independent Christian churches used to be all one. We were trying to follow the word of God. And some of our brothers and sisters have decided, no, well, it says that in the book, but that's so mean. God loves everybody, and He wants all of us to do whatever's on our heart, right? No. God tells us His truth must be followed. And we have to watch out for following false leaders, false groups that have twisted the Word of God. Another group is Jehovah's Witnesses don't fully accept the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And that's so hard. That's so sad. They're very devoted believers in their religion. And we could go on and list, and some are going to point their finger at me and say, Dave, you are not a full Christian because you don't follow all of God's word. Well, point it out to me. Let's take a look at it, and I'll do my best to be true to God's word. But let's be sure that we are a people of the book, knowing God's truth and following it. There are other churches, other religions that have perverted the truth of God and added men's thoughts instead of staying true to the Word of God. Now, I don't like to make lists, and normally I don't do that, but because of the nature of this sermon today, I felt I needed to bring out those names. Now, if you have major disappointment with me because of that, pray for me. We'll work through this, okay? But God has warned us through Paul's letter to guard against anyone who claims to receive a revelation from God, from Jesus, angels, or man, which contradict what is already written. And so, as a result of that, I would suggest we need to reject every teacher or group which claims a special message which contradicts the Word of God, the Bible. If you have your Bibles there and are quick with your fingers, turn over with me to the book of 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. The Apostle John was trying to warn the church of the first century, and that warning still stands today. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 says, Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Satan is at war with
those who believe in Jesus. He's at war with you if you're going to believe in Jesus Christ. He's at war with me. And so we have to guard our lives and we need to stay true to the Scripture. The final point, hallelujah! Beware of the deception of self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency. Be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and the Bible. You are not an island. You are not the rock. You're claiming positions of only Jesus Christ when you do that. Paul states that his message is directly from Jesus Christ, the Word of God made flesh who lived among us. This message fits perfectly with the rest of all Scripture. Second Peter, the Apostle Peter, gave credence to the words of the Apostle Paul that they were Scripture equals. The Bible presents Jesus Christ as the one and only Savior for all humanity, direct from heaven. Do you remember John 3:16 and 17 and 18? Well, we all pretty much know John 3:16, but the next two verses are important too. But recite 16 with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. The next verse is, for God did not send His Son into the world that He... My glasses are getting bad, and my memory's worse. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through Him. The next verse, he who believes in Him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it all hinges on who? Jesus Christ. Not me, not what I think. It hinges on my belief and obedience to Jesus Christ. And it's not just for us, it's for all people around the globe. Jesus is the only one to fulfill all messianic prophecies. Hundreds of prophecies were given, and Jesus fulfilled every single one of them regarding the Messiah, ultimately facing the cross, the grave, conquering the grave, arising to heaven, and promising to come again. He promised us eternal life with Him, if we'll stick with Him, if we'll be true to Him. Jesus is the Word of God who became flesh and gave His life for us. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through Him. No other name has been given to us by God by which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Jesus is the only victor over death. By His own power, He conquered the grave. He is God. He is King. He is Lord. Psalm 119, the whole book of Psalms 119 talks about the importance of the Word of God. It uses the Hebrew alphabet for all these verses. 150 verses talking about the importance of God's Word. But verse 11 tells us to treasure God's Word in our heart. Verse 105 tells us that God's Word is a light to us, a light to our path. That Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Its Word will I do what? Hide in my heart that I might not sin against God. In John chapter 6, verses 48 through 63, Jesus was talking to the people and He got into trouble with the Jews because they thought He was talking about cannibalism. He said, you need to eat Me. That sounds like cannibalism, doesn't it? But in verse 63, He clarified. His disciples were even frustrated. He said, what are we supposed to do? Eat you? He said, My words are life. Eat Jesus, His words, and you will live for how long? Forever. How many want forever? Woo!
His words are life to us. We are to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow Jesus. Be transformed to live in His word, in His will. Romans chapter 6. There are a lot of scriptures in small print there. I apologize for all that. I'll try to discipline myself to make more concise messages for you. But the truth is, we need to stick with Jesus. Amen? Jesus is the only way, only Savior for this world. Righteousness is determined by God, not by people. Polling, taking the polls of who votes for this? No, God doesn't work that way. God says His truth, and it stands and abides forever. The truth of God is not based upon our feelings. It's not based upon the majority vote. God tells us in His Word that He does not change. He has given us His guidelines in Scripture, Old Testament and New, and we need to be a people of the entire book, not just New Testament, but the entire book, the books of history, the Mosaic Law, the poetry, the prophets, on through the New Testament, the history of the book of Acts, on into the letters that Paul wrote to the different churches, because we're going to run into the same problems as they did, maybe not technologically, but issues of personal relationships are still applied in all of Scripture if we'll take time to apply them and learn them. We will be judged by our obedience to Jesus and His teachings. While the world promotes health, wealth, power, new ideas, Jesus says, come to me, learn from me, and I will give you rest. He warns us to watch out for the deception of the enemies of God. So the question for us today, am I following the right leader? Only Jesus can grant you eternal life. Only Jesus can grant you peace in this life. We encourage you to draw ever closer to you, your Savior, the Savior of the world. And if any time you have questions, concerns, challenges, we want to help. We want to walk with you side by side. We want to help you discover the love of God, the truth of His Word, the help of His Word through Jesus, through His Spirit. So track us down, look for us, and we would be glad to visit with you. Get involved with the church family if you haven't been. God calls for us to be family, that every person has a part in the family of God. God has blessed you with Spirit, with gifts, with talents, and abilities, and all those are important that we all work together sharing the gifts that God has given to us. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the truth that we don't have to stumble around and wonder which message is really true, which person is really telling truth. We can look to the Bible, your holy word that abides forever, that your will does not change. It's not fluctuating to a little bit this way. Well, no, let's do it the different way next week. No, your word is true for every day. Thank you. Thank you for our Savior, Redeemer Jesus, who has paid the price in full for our failures, our sin against you. And we thank you for the redemption and the renewing that Jesus gives and your Spirit gives, your word gives to us. Let us draw from your well of living water, your truth that abides forever. Be with us as we prepare to go out into the world to face the challenges, the deceptions. Let your Spirit prick our hearts, our minds, whenever there's false ideas, a false motivation. Help us to be true to you and a light in the world, salt, seasoning our culture. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.